Today is the 25th Sunday after Pentecost. Scripture lessons are from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 1 through 11, and the Gospel according to Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 through 30. The message is entitled, Entrusted. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, beginning at verse 1. Now, brothers, about times and dates, we do not need to write to you, for you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you, brothers, are not in darkness, so that this day should surprise you like a thief. You are all sons of the light and sons of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. So then, let us not be like others who are asleep. But let us be alert and self-controlled. For those who sleep, sleep at night. And those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be self-controlled. Putting on faith and love as a breastplate, and the hope of salvation as a helmet. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with Him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. Here ends the first lesson, the Holy Gospel according to Matthew chapter 25, beginning at the 14th verse. Jesus is continuing to teach about the day to come. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents of money, to another 2 talents, and to another 1 talent, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received 5 talents went at once and put the money to work and gained 5 more. So also the one with 2 talents gained 2 more. But the man who had received 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received the 5 talents brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. The man with 2 talents also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 talents. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Then the man who had received the 1 talent came. Master, he said, I know that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your talent in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well, then you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers, so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. Take the talent from him and give it to the one who has 5, who has the 10 talents. For everyone who has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have even what he has will be taken from him. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Here ends the gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, it is your glory and worship that you should be praised and that I should pray to you. Therefore, dearest Lord, do not look on my unworthiness, but on my need for your help. For you are the only help for all sinners. Therefore, to your glory, I call to you. I will not refuse your help, and you can, and will give it to those who pray. Amen. Amen. Martin Luther's prayer and ours. 25 weeks, yes. 25 weeks after Pentecost. Time has sure flown by since May 28th, the day of Pentecost. Yes, Sunday, May 28th was Pentecost Sunday, and now we're near the end of November, near the end of the church calendar year. Next Sunday will be Christ the King Sunday, and then the church calendar begins with the first Sunday in Advent. And as the time has been flying by and will continue to go faster and faster till the Son of Man, the great Lord our God, comes riding on the clouds to come as he has promised. A day that is most certainly to come. But we don't know. We don't know the day nor hour. Even now, nearly 2,000 years later, for 2,000 years ago or so, they did not know the time or the hour, as we heard in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, but they were eagerly awaiting the coming of the Lord. It's written, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, beginning of verse 1. Now, brothers, about times and dates, we do not need to write to you, for you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. Or as the next verse adds, suddenly, like labor pains upon a woman with child. I remember those days. And my wife remembers them most likely much more vividly and clearly than I do. And yet we did not have to wait for the unexpected arrival of labor pains for our girls. They were both scheduled inducements. Yet with our second, 1 week before the scheduled inducements, we did have a false alarm. So we drove over to St. Anne's in Westerville. It was late at night, really late at night. We checked in, vitals taken. Then for the next couple of hours, walking the floor for several hours on end, and everything was closed because it was the middle of the night. And then checked again. And then, okay, very tired, waiting. And then we were sent home. We will wait to the scheduled inducement. Now, years earlier, when I was at the Ohio State University, during the middle of the night, I was asleep in my apartment, and I heard a sound outside. I had a second floor apartment, well, half second floor. You went up half a flight of steps to the floors, or half a flight of steps down to the floor. So I was sort of second floor. I heard a sound at night outside the building. I opened my curtains right above my bed, and I looked down. And down below my window was a young man with a bolt cutter trying to steal a bike, because the bike rack was underneath my windows, trying to steal a bike. I opened my window and yelled down at him, "What do you think you're doing?" Nonchalantly, he got up and just casually strolls off, heads down towards High Street. I call 911 to report the attempted theft with the description and the fact he's carrying a set of bolt cutters, so it should be easy to be found, right? I got the feeling they were going to do nothing. I did my part. Matthew 24, starting at verse 3. Jesus left the temple and was walking away when his disciples came up to him to call his attention to its buildings. "Do you see all these things?" Jesus asked. "I tell you the truth, not one stone will be left on another, and every one will be thrown down." As Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, and this is much later, the disciples came to him privately. "Tell us," they said, "when will this happen? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?" the parable of the 10 virgins, which we focused on last week, and this week the parable of the talents. They're both in response to when will this happen? And the sign of his coming and the end of the age, along with which comes next in Matthew chapter 25, the teaching of the sheep and the goats, that judgment, which Matthew includes with the parables here, following this parable of talents. These images, they're all connected together. There will be a day when the Son of Man will come, just as it's written, Matthew chapter 24, beginning of verse 42. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have left his house to be broken into. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come in an hour when you do not expect him. The parable of the 10 virgins, it's about being ready. The parable of the talents, also about being ready. And there's a little twist in the parable of the talents, because the twist is now focusing on what is being done while waiting. The parable of the talents begins, Matthew 25, verse 14. Again, and that's the day of the Lord, when it comes in all the end times. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. Like a man going on a long journey. It will be gone a long time. Need someone to represent and look over the things. Someone to be present there. To look over all his affairs while he is gone. I mean, there's no mobile banking, no email, no text messaging, which keeps you in the loop while you're traveling great distances from home. I mean, I've gotten text messages from my brother when he's been on the other side of the world. We've gone on long trips too. And in the past, we made arrangements for the mail and the pets to be taken care of at that time. And we've also watched pets for friends when they were traveling, including caring for lizards and feeding them with live bugs. Remember that? My girls didn't like that. Live bugs. But we did that for our friends because we care about them. I mean, you got to make these arrangements. You can't do these things. So the master delivers over to his servants his possessions with the nuance of a close personal involvement. These are the master's possessions. To the first servant, the master gives five talents. The English word is actually a transliteration of the Greek word talaton. Talaton. And that's where we also get the word talent. But it's not about a skill or ability, but a talent is a very large sum of money. A talent was the largest sum of money that they used at that time. That was the word. A talent was the largest sum of money they used at that time. Now, the largest U.S. bill ever printed and allowed to go into circulation was a $10,000 bill. And had a picture of a man on it who was not a president. Did not have that. Do you know the name of the man that's on the $10,000 bill? He's from Ohio. He was governor. He was a representative. But Lincoln's time, I mean, his name is Salmon P. Chase. He served as governor of Ohio, senator from Ohio, served as secretary of treasury under Abraham Lincoln, and he also served as the chief justice of the Supreme Court, Salmon P. Chase. Now, the U.S. bill, largest U.S. bill ever printed, was $100,000. $100,000 bill, and it was a gold note. And it was used during the Great Depression for transactions between the Federal Reserve banks. A lot easier to move a piece of paper of $100,000 worth of gold from bank to bank than actually carry $100,000 of gold. So, I mean, large bills. The $100,000 never went into normal commerce. Now, a talent is roughly about, is worth about 3,000 shekels. 3,000 shekels or 600 denarii. A shekel is a silver coin. That's the Israeli commerce coin is the shekel. The denarii is the Roman coin and used to pay a day's wages. So you can see 3,000 shekels, 6,000 denarii, a talent. This amount of money is a huge sum of money. I mean, it's huge responsibility was given. Here is 5 talents of money. Here is 2 talents of money. Here's 1 talent of money. Matthew 25:15. To one he gave 5 talents of money, to another 2 talents, and to another 1 talent, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The word translated as journey, it means to go abroad. It means to leave and go abroad. The master was going a great distance. Unknown. Unknown. When will someone arrive? Now, let's talk about the days before smartphones. Because when traveling now with these smartphones, I mean, text messaging and all that, you can quickly say, oh, I'm so-and-so at so-and-so. Okay, they're going to arrive in about 15 minutes. Oh, I'm at so-and-so. They're going to arrive in about a half hour. I'm stuck in traffic in Detroit. You get these messages, so you sort of have an idea that unknown is not so much in our culture or in our understanding of things today. When will someone arrive? I mean, the updates are possible all along the way, and do you give updates when you're traveling? Most of you do. So this unexpectedness of arrival time of past generations really is not something we understand these days. It becomes harder and harder then to relate. Now, if you go back to other means of travel of years gone by, this unexpectedness of when one will return was really a part of life. You see them head off. When will they return? And also a part of that is, will they return? I mean, traveling was much different. Along with the unknown of when they're returning was the uncertainty of when will one return. Now, with Christ, there is no uncertainty. He will return. The unknown is when. Think back. Christopher Columbus, when will you return? When I get back. I mean, on many minds, it's, is he going to make it back? I mean, he leaves on August 3rd, 1492. They stop at the Canary Islands to do some repairs. He doesn't get back to Spain until March 5th, 1493. Oh, we see the sails. It's Columbus. The pilgrims, I mean, they leave to cross the ocean. They're buffeted by storms. 66 days tossed about great and heavy heave. So heavy was the heaving, a massive beam supporting the frame of the ship. It cracked and was sinking. I mean, it would put the ship down under the water if it broke all the way. By God's good grace, they had a giant iron screw there. Some say for a printing press, others say for helping to build things, but it was a giant screw brought by one of the pilgrims. It was wedged into place and cranked up, raising that beam back into place. They made it. They didn't know it'd be 66 days, but they made it. Lewis and Clark, when will you be back? They left May 14th, 1804 from St. Louis, you know, that gateway to the west, to the Pacific Ocean and back. By God's good grace, a Shoshone woman named Sacagawea, she joined the expedition. They made it to the ocean. They made it back, traveling nearly 8,000 miles. The master left the servants in charge. When will you be back? When I get back. When will you be back? It's unknown time of return of Jesus. He's telling the parable, and being a parable, this action must be relatable to those hearing the parable. The setting and action of the parable is familiar, but very likely this amount given over to the servants, that's exceedingly large. It's larger than real life. This parable is larger than life. The one with 5 talents put them to work and eventually gained 5 more talents. Likewise, the servant with 2 talents put it to work, gained 2 more. That word translated as gained, it's actually a mercantile term of exchange. Exchanging the mediocre for the better. So he put it to work in exchanging things. Now, the one given 1 talent goes and digs a hole and hides the money, burying the talent in the hole. Matthew 25, verse 18. For if the man who received the 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. The Greek word translated as master in the Greek is kurios. Kyrios. It means master. It also means Lord. But the emphasis of this word, Kyrios, is the absolute ownership of the property. These talents absolutely belonged to the master. The ownership was not in doubt. So yes, the talents have been handed over. But everyone knows the talents, this exceedingly large sum of money, belongs to the master. There's no question in it. It's the master's. Matthew 25, verse 19. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. That word long in the Greek is polos. Polos, meaning much, meaning many. Much, as in a great amount, or many in a high number. I mean, ancient. Just think of ancient tribe. I gave a few examples of traveling in ancient times, and that's just a couple hundred years ago. I mean, could you imagine traveling ancient times, the great distances involved in the great amount of time? I mean, Marco Polo, traveling all the way over. I mean, all these things. And just the Oregon Trail, to head west on the Oregon Trail, 6 months was mostly common. And to there and back? There and back, long time. So the master's gone a long time. Five talents, five more. Well done, good and faithful servant, because the master came and said, give me account. Speak to me what you did with what was mine. Five more. Well done, good and faithful servant. Two talents. Here's two more. Well done, good and faithful servant. Come and share in your master's happiness. Notice that. Come and share in the happiness. That comes from that. Good and faithful. The word good in the Greek carries the meaning of inherently and intrinsically good. For a believer, you and I, for believers, this describes which it originates from God as an empowered by God in the believer by faith. That's how this word is used. What comes from God, this good in us, it comes in the believer, and it's by faith. So good and faithful servant. And so there's the contrast there. And so these first two servants, they have this nature that's good and faithful for the believer. I mean, it's empowered. Faithful literally means fullness of faith. That's what the Greek word means, fullness of faith. So believing the faith that God puts inside you, that imparts in you. So the first two servants, the one receiving five, the one receiving two, the nature of these two servants is good and faithful, such that it flows into action. Action that pleases the master. The one with one returns the one and none is added. The one with one returns the one with none added. Oh, this is not good. Matthew 25:25. So I was afraid and I went out and I hid your talent in the ground. See, here's what belongs to you. Note how the master describes this servant. This is from verse 26 of Matthew 25. You wicked, lazy servant. Again, going to the Greek, wicked. There's an emphasis on the inevitable misery that always accompanies evil. Lazy, slothful, indolent, unambitious, just not interested. This one didn't even dare to do the bare minimum of placing this money, this talent, with the bankers to at least earn interest. And this is what happens because of this. Matthew 25, verse 30. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Not useful. Worthless is the means not useful. Paul uses this same word in Philemon, that letter to Philemon, the letter Philemon. And note the contrast. Philemon 11. Remember, Philemon's just one chapter, so every verse is a number. Philemon 11. So that's verse 11 in Philemon. Formerly he was useless to you, but now he has become useful to both you and to me. The word change. from useless to useful. A change of heart had taken place in Philemon's slave, Onesimus. And a change of heart means a change of life from a runaway slave to a brother in Christ. So you can get that. You useless, the one that was given one and only returned that one back. You useless. Compare that now with from useless to useful. And what's the difference? A change of heart, because Christ has come in, and now from a slave to a brother in Christ. Matthew 25, verse 15. Each according to his ability. You find that in that verse 15. The master took into account the abilities of the servants. In essence, do with this as you are able. The word translated as ability is the Greek word dunamis. Power, dunamis, power, ability. This word is used 120 times in the New Testament, meaning power, meaning might, meaning ability, meaning strength, and it can be translated as miracles too. Matthew chapter 13, verse 54. Coming to his hometown, that's Jesus, coming to his hometown, he began teaching the people in the synagogue, and they were amazed. Where did this man get this wisdom and these miraculous powers, they asked. What's translated as miraculous powers there is the same word, dunamis, ability, power. So where did he get this ability to do these signs, these wonders, these miraculous powers? So that's this word, this Greek word, dunamis, miraculous powers. What is in Jesus flows out in outward action. Jesus has the dunamis. He has the ability. He has all of this power to do these things. Why? Because he is the Son of God doing the work of the Father, full of signs and wonders to show what is inside him, and more than that, to show who he is. What we do shows what's inside of us and shows who we are. Dunamis. The one with five and the one with two both showed that were in their hearts by what they did. It showed what they did. They did good things with it. The one with the one, he showed what was in his heart, though what he did with what was entrusted to him. He did nothing with it. So they each showed what was inside him. The difference between the good and faithful and wicked is what was in the heart that flowed out into living in this world as actions. In other words, living out what's inside, or living out the faith. The manner in which you and I live is an expression of the faith that resides in each of us. A bit of local history here. Simon Kenton, he entrusted a person to run his businesses while he was gone on a long excursions. And Simon Kenton loved to go on long excursions. When he returned home, he found the man had cleaned him out. His business was ruined. And that man had left with all his money. Well, all the people that owe me debt, good, I'll still have that money. Well, Kenton also found out that the crony friends of this man he entrusted with his businesses had strong-armed all the debtors to paying up all the outstanding debt. So we're talking thousands upon thousands of dollars. It's in a very large sum there. They're all stolen from Simon Kenton. We know what was in the hearts of these men by their actions. We began this morning singing with the hymn, "We Give Thee But Thine Own." The first stanza is, "We give thee but thine own, whate'er the gift may be. All that we have is thine alone, a trust, O Lord, from thee." Do you see your life in that manner? Your life is a trust from the Lord given to you. And all that you have is those talents. And we're putting everything in that talents that we hear in the parable. I place these talents in your hand, these resources. What are you going to do with it? What's the ability you're going to do with it? All we have is a trust in the Lord, God Almighty. All we have belongs to the Lord. It's a trust. And in a moment, we will be singing the power of your love. In the second verse is a phrase, Lord, renew my mind as your will unfolds in my life, in living every day by the power of your love. In other words, living out the faith by the power of the Holy Spirit, the gift of God in you, full of love, the love of Christ. Jesus gave his life on the cross so that forgiveness of sins, a new life in Christ would be yours by grace through faith. The finished work of Christ has redeemed you, has redeemed your soul. Now as a servant of Christ, as a doulos of Christ, that's the Greek word doulos, and doulos really means slave. As a slave of Christ. And Paul used that terminology for himself. I'm a doulos of Christ. I'm a slave of Christ. As a slave of Christ, in your hands is placed the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I mean, it's an incredible treasure. The gospel of Jesus Christ is now in you, placed in your hands and placed all through you to put into work. Put into the work of doing the work of Jesus. While Jesus off in the far land, off in that far land which we know as heaven, he ascended to heaven and went, he will come again. He will come again. So in this meantime, we are to put this gospel of Jesus Christ, all these things that God has placed in our life as a trust, into the service of the good news of Jesus Christ, into the work of the church, into making a difference so that like one that was useless is now useful and a brother in Christ. Useless to useful. As a sister in Christ. That is this parable to us. Put it into work. Jesus gave his life for us. We give our life for Christ. I mean, this good news of Jesus Christ, the gospel of Jesus Christ, put in you to put into work as Jesus is far off and coming again, just as in the parable of the talents, the kingdom work of the living God is now entrusted to you. Let that sink in. The kingdom work of the living God is entrusted to each of you. And the resources have been placed in you. The dunamis has been placed in you. The power of the indwelling Holy Spirit. With boldness, go forth. Put to work all the Father has placed in your life for the increase of the kingdom of the Son, Jesus Christ. From 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. But since we belong to the day, let us be self-controlled, putting on faith and love as a breastplate, and the hope of salvation as a helmet. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another, build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. Beloved, faith in Christ, you're entrusted by God to do the kingdom work, and you have the ability to do it. So build each other up, encourage each other up, and trust the power and presence of God to do wonders. And do wonders here and now and for the generations to come through us. Through us, the ones entrusted with the faith in this place at this time. To us. So let's live by the power of love. Amen. Amen.